Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
To wholly follow the Lord means you don't allow any distance to come between you and God. See, that was Caleb. So how many of you have a vision? Don't let nothing come between you and that vision. I want to start reading Joshua chapter 14. This man was never a number one, but he was a number two. The best number two you ever saw in your life. Because he knew how not to mix faith and time. You know, Brother Jeremy was preaching the other day, Jeremy Pearson's, and I really, really ministered to me his sermon as the Lord was directing him. Where the kids say, "Oh, you're there yet?" And the Lord told me many years ago, never mix faith and time, because time will become your enemy. Now, how many pastors we got here? Got any preachers here? Oh, yeah. I want to ask a question. Put your hand up. Has anybody ever left your church? Hold your hand up. Now, why do you think they left? You think it's because you said something bad? No. Actually, they embraced what you said. They loved it. They said, "Man, I'm going to believe that." But it didn't work fast enough. Then they begin to say, "You see, that stuff don't work." So they'll go to a church with so much less than what they had. And they live the rest of their life living in less and less and less. It's not that you said anything wrong. They embraced what you said. They liked it. That's why they were going there. But it didn't happen fast enough. And the Bible said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." Now this man Caleb, there's two of them out of all them people that came out of Egypt. These two are the only ones that made it. The rest of the cowards died in the desert. Cowards always die in the desert. This Caleb guy. Now, I know our church is watching, and I preached it at Covenant Church, and I'm going to say some different things. This is the second time I looked at this, and the Lord said, "Go to that." And so we'll go to read the scripture first. Joshua chapter 14. I want to start reading with verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart.'" So he told him what he believed, not just what he saw. "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Now, I want you to underline this in your Bible or whatever you do there. "But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, 'Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." He's 85 years old at the time of this writing, or time of, that he says this. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now." Notice the next two words, "for war." What he was saying was, yeah, I can run around the block, but I'm strong enough to go to war. Because you got to understand, them giants was on his land for 45 years, and they owed him back rent for 45 years because he's Jewish. He wanted that money. Deserved it. "For war, both to go out and to come in. Now," he didn't say tomorrow, next day, "Joshua, now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him the land. And do you know Caleb's descendants still own that property? That's Hebron. God gave him the honor of the burial places of the patriarchs. Right. In Hebron, Abraham and Rebekah, Abraham and Sarah are there, and then Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob and Leah. Right. Not Rachel. Even though he loved Rachel more, he shouldn't have done that. Yeah, but she got a little jealous. But, you know, sometimes women get jealous. You know what I call my wife after 54 years? Timeless elegance. That's Kathy. She's elegant. Timeless elegance, yeah. She's such a blessing to me. And he said, that's my mountain. I don't care how long it takes to get it. I got it the day Moses said I could have it. But Moses told him to do something, walk that land. I wanted 5 acres next to my ministry, and St. Charles Parish had owned it and all that kind of stuff. So I said, Lord, I want that land. He said, well, get out your truck and walk it. So I walked all over that 5 acres. People said, you know, people know me in my neighborhood. What you doing there, Reverend? I said, walking the land. Walking the land? Yeah, walking. And I walked, and every time I put my foot down, everything I touched was mine, according to what God said. Because he no respect the person. Do it for Caleb and do it for Jesse. And now, of course, I own that land. And I found out that the oil companies has, what do they call that, high pressure pipelines underneath it. And they pay me for their oil to go through my land. That's nice. I believe in drill, baby, drill. Why? Because I'm going to make some money under that property. I mean, that's amazing. A lot of it, natural gas, oil, and all this kind of stuff. He said, I wholly follow the Lord. I want to talk tonight about the consequences of wholly following the Lord. Now, God said that about Joshua, but Caleb actually followed the Lord more than Joshua. Because God tells him I think there's a chapter right before that, Joshua, you're an old man, and there's still yet a lot of land to be possessed. But he never said that to Caleb, because Caleb was a visionary. He said, that's mine. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many giants are there. I don't care how hard it looks. It belongs to me. And God kept his strength going all those years. So would you write this point down? I believe you'll enjoy this. To wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. Your obligation expands with increasing light and consecration. Let me say it again. To wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. Your obligation expands with increasing light and concentration. And all those years, he kept his mind on that vision. See, if you're not talking about your vision is talking about you. Lazy. Everybody telling you can't do this, you can't do that. And you start believing them instead of what God said. But he didn't do that. He wholly followed the Lord. When I got born again, I was such a magnificent sinner. Kathy told me that when I got saved, Satan cried. We have lost a great man today. And God had to give Jesus a blood transfusion to wash away all my sin. But when I got born again, and I can honestly say this, from Labor Day weekend 1974, I have wholly followed the Lord. And I don't mean that pridefully. And how long have you been working for me now, Fritz? 40 years? Going on 41. Am I telling the truth? I couldn't believe how great it was to be saved. I couldn't explain it, but I knew something had happened.
Yes.
And it was one of the most amazing things. So to wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. So I said, Lord, I like to pray, but I prefer conversation. So when I go in my study and I'll say, hey, Jesus. He say, hey, Jesse, let's talk. And I do that constantly. And God can be funny. I said, you know, Lord, some people I see you create, you must have been tired. He laughed like you did. He said, well, beauty's in the eye to behold her. I said, well, see, you must have had your eyes closed because something. And the Lord would just, now you don't have to believe it, but the Lord would just laugh. See, he's become my friend. I read that Abraham was a friend of God, and that struck me, Art. I went, Lord, can I be your friend? How do you make a friend? You see, you really don't know somebody until you go on vacation with them. Boy, then you find out who they really are. I wanted God to be acute, to know, not just believe. To wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. Then watch this. Your obligation expands with increasing light and consecration. So every day, I am better today than I was yesterday. I'm ever growing, growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ, being made perfect. Now, don't let that word throw you. That means matured in the things of God. And, you know, and people say, I don't see how that man does it. In 48 years of preaching, I've never had a financial deficit because I thought, why should I have that? But do you know how many hundreds, maybe thousands of preachers told me, now, boy, you better get ready. Devil gonna beat you and bust you and stomp you and kick you. But if you endure to the end, and they do it kind of like, if you endure to the end, hey, you shall be saved. I said, I'm already saved. I said, to you, God is not an enjoyment, but an endurement.
Yeah. Right.
You're looking more at your problem than you're looking at your answer. Amen. And God would honor me. And I've always taken up for God. When people would say something about that, and somebody would use God and use the word damn after it, I say, you don't damn my God. Who do you think you are? And a lot of times I was a baby Christian. I said, Lord, you want to kill him? Kill him. Well, you know. I was serious. I didn't like nobody talking bad about God. So to wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. Your obligation expands with increasing light and consecration. And you need to study this man, Caleb. Because he always stayed in his lane. Now, I'm going to talk about me and Keith more. And let me write this point down. To wholly follow the Lord means you don't allow any distance to come between you and God. See, Caleb never allowed any distance to come between him and God Almighty, or him and Moses, or him and Joshua.
Right.
He wholly followed the Lord. So that's what I mean. To wholly follow the Lord means you don't allow any distance to come between you and God. See, that was Caleb. So how many of you have a vision? Don't let nothing come between you and that vision, because that vision was given to you by God. There's always somebody telling you you can't do something. But God said you can do all things. When are we going to believe what he said instead of what somebody's worthless opinion says? You see what I'm saying? Well, how long do they got to wait? You in a hurry? You're going to live forever, so what are you worried about? Well, I lost this crowd. Let me go here. That's Mark Hanker said, go on this side. This is much better on this side. Praise God. So when you understand, it don't make no difference. I told Mark Hankins, I said, you're going to preach at a believer's convention. Oh, you know, he go, ho, 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 ho. You know, ho, 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 ho. Sound like a motorcycle trying to start. Ho, ho, ho. You know? I said, you're going to do it. How many times we sat in your daddy's yard? My God, we was young, way back when. And we said, one day God's going to use us and we're going to do something. This is many, many years ago. And and yet came to pass. I told Nancy, I said, you're going to do that too? Oh, it's going to happen. And Terry Savelle for us, Lord Jesus. What a blessing. Y'all don't need to know about that. That's between me and Jerry. But anyway, so to wholly follow the Lord means you don't allow any distance to come between you and God. People say, you mean you don't get depressed? Have you ever seen me depressed? I don't have time for that. Have you ever saw me sick? I don't have time for that. I don't mean that arrogantly or pridefully. Caleb didn't have time for any of that because he got to fight a battle with a bunch of giants 45 years later. You don't hear God saying, Caleb, you're old and stricken in years. Says that to Joshua. This man was the greatest second I ever seen in my life. Write this down. To wholly follow the Lord becomes a life business of obedience. To wholly follow the Lord becomes a life business of obedience, because everything you do is being recorded. Hebrews 11, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. I am having a report right now on me as I preach this message, that I will stand before God and he'll say, on July the 31st, 2024, on a Wednesday night, you preach this, and this is what I think about it. Because it will never go away. It's like putting something on the internet. You're never going to lose it. You think you erase it, but it's in there somewhere. To wholly follow the Lord or holy following the Lord becomes a life business of obedience. It is possible to be truly His, but not wholly His. It depends upon your degree of discipleship. See, you got to understand something. If I can write this down here, I wrote something down with this point. You have to learn to subdue. What you don't subdue will become your master. Write that down. What you don't subdue will become your master. See, that's what God told Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, always producing. Multiply, always increasing. Replenish, fill it, use it, then refill it. Then He said subdue, which means if anything gets out of line, put it down. Well, God was telling Adam, snake coming, put it down. But he didn't wholly follow the Lord. And that's why we have what we have today. See, the church world, I hate to say that, and the secular world, they love the first Adam more than the second Adam. And that's sad. It really is. So it's possible to be truly His, but not wholly His. It depends upon your degree of discipleship. Without sounding prideful, I have no problems with money. I'm kind of like Forrest Gump. We ain't got to worry about that no more. Because life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And using good business principles and things and all the other things that go along with that. And every time God's given me a project or something, before I build it, I have the money. Because why do you have to wait to get it? Why don't you get it before? Now, what I'm about ready to say, I want you to get this. Remember this, what you don't subdue will hurt you. Write this down. One known disobedience, just one, allowed. One known disobedience allowed. One condemned habit persisted. One condemned habit persisted. One wrong relationship maintained. I'm going to go over this again. One unchecked indulgence can cause spiritual resolution to falter. Let me say it again. When I wrote this point, I said, God, it's a long point. He said, write it down. One known disobedience allowed. One condemned habit persisted. One wrong relationship maintained. One unchecked indulgence can cause spiritual resolution to falter. Because now you're not wholly following the Lord. It could be a secret sin that you like. You know, you have known some, Brother Copeland is very aware of walking in the love commandment. Very aware of that. And that's a wonderful thing. Let me say it again. Some of you are writing. One known disobedience allowed. One condemned habit persisted. One wrong relationship maintained. One unchecked indulgence can cause spiritual resolution to falter. That's what I told you when I told you about that subdue. What you don't subdue will become your master. He said, because you let something stay that shouldn't stay. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you know, you have to learn to listen to the people that are around you. When I do business, I'm not thinking male and female, pretty girl, ugly girl, good looking guy, ugly guy. I'm thinking business. I'm looking for someone that's qualified to do this job. Well, I needed another receptionist. So we sent out something more and several people applied. Well, this beautiful woman comes in. Now, you can ask Kathy, when I got God on my mind, you can walk naked in front of me. I don't even see you. I'm serious. I don't know why. I'm glad. I guess I am like that, you know. So, and this girl tells me her qualifications. And I'm thinking, son, this is it. She can do this job. So Kathy steps in. She said, excuse me, Jessica, can I talk to you for a second? I said, I'm in the middle of an interview here. You know what I'm saying? I said, excuse me, ma'am. I'll be right back. So I said, what? I said, man, this girl got a qualification. She said, you don't want her. I said, I don't want her. Kathy, look at her resume. Kathy, she said, she wants you. I said, get on out of here. You crazy. I said, what's the matter with you? I said, look at me, man. At that time, I was 50. I said, I'm 50 years old. You understand? She wants you. I said, woman, you done lost your ever-loving mind. She said, if you do this, you're going to be judged. I want to say, by who? I just want to know who's going to do the judging here. I'll take my chances with God. I ain't taking my chances with Kathy. So, you know, I walk back in. She says, does my qualifications suit you? I said, young lady, fine. And then she stands up. Are these qualifications acceptable to you? I can't tell you what I thought. Oh, I'm going to tell you what I thought. I went, Kathy's right. I said, we'll call you. Walked out and I said, Kathy. She goes. I thought, I'm trying to hire somebody here to do this job. I got this job. I need quality people. But naturally, we didn't hire her. And I wasn't allowed to call her back. Kathy said, I'll pick the girls that come here. I said, okay, Kathy, that's fine, bless God. And not that she, because she knows me, I don't do that. I mean, before I was saved, I was a heathen from hell. But after I got born again, son.
Do you wholly follow the Lord? We have a great product offer this month titled The Consequences of Wholly Following the Lord. You know, it's possible to be truly His, but not wholly His. It's about having a constant sense of God throughout every area of your life. This message will help you and lead you to a blessed life in Jesus Christ. Go to jdm.org and order it today. You will be blessed.
Are you ready to revive your spiritual life? My book, The Power of Prayer, is loaded with personal stories and biblically based principles that will equip you to start enjoying the abundant life Jesus died to give to you. You can tap into a clear line of communication with God that will reveal His plan for your life. Never underestimate the power of your faith-filled prayers to unlock the gates of heaven and provide for your victory. The Power of Prayer. Order your copy at jdm.org.
I hope you were encouraged today by my message, The Consequences of Wholly Following the Lord. Listen, wholly following the Lord is easy when you make Jesus your friend. How do I do that? Have a conversation with Him today. You can do that. And don't allow any distance to come between you and Him. I want to tell you, when you do that, you will bear the mark of a Christian. You'll have God's approval all over you, just like Caleb did. It's such a blessing. I love answering your questions that you send in. I have one from a man named Sam. I'd like to answer this right now. He says this, Jesse, I'm a new believer. And I love how you're able to make Jesus so real and approachable. Thank you, Sam, for saying that. How did you develop such a close relationship with Him? How do I approach God in an intimate way while having the fear of the Lord? Sam, the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of Him. The fear of the Lord is the respect of Him because He's God Almighty. Talk to Him on a daily basis. And it's more than just prayer. See, prayer is asking God for things. Just say, hello, Jesus. And He'll say, hello, Sam. And you start talking together and you develop that. It's such a wonderful thing. It's easy. You'll be blessed by it. Thanks, Sam, for sending in that question. Hey, this product offered today is so wonderful. It's Kathy's book, The Power of Prayer. Often say that prayer is the language of God. It really is. This book right here will teach you how to communicate effectively with the Lord. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org and get your copy today. You might want to get one for a friend because everybody needs to know how to pray and how to receive. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support. We couldn't do it without you. You know, it's just amazing. You know, when Jesus started His ministry, he went and picked 12 disciples. I used to think years ago, Lord, if you help me, I'll do it by myself. I'll work as hard as I. And the Lord told me, he said, no, I'm going to send partners to your ministry, which is my extended family. That's what I call you. Thank you for supporting us today. Nothing too small, nothing too big. We're believing God for big and wonderful things here, and it's happening, buddy. We got to build an event center. We got to build another hangar. There's so many things going on, plus the infrastructure of this place goes on all the time. Thank you for giving today. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. This is Jesse Duplantis from New Orleans, Louisiana, saying, I love you. I really do. You'll never be a day without prayer. God bless you. See ya. Bye-bye.
Join Jesse and Kathy Duplantis for a special Friday event.
This is the God that you can come boldly through the throne of grace. Ask anything in his name and he'll do it.
August 8th in Nashville, Tennessee at Faith is the Victory Church.
God is looking for a few good men and women that will step up and go where he's calling them to go.
Don't miss this special Friday event. For more information, go to jdm.org.
We've been to Australia, we've been to Europe, just preaching the gospel everywhere. Just going all over, preaching the gospel.
Jesus!
And how can they hear lest they have a preacher?
Letting the world forget the words of God. And the only way they're going to do that is with voices and people like me and you. That's why I'm on television all the time. That's why I'm trying to get as much television time as I can. Not so many more people can see who I am, but I am interested in building God's kingdom to such a degree that the world will see who he really is. Come on, it's time.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no, there's not. In my book, Give God a Job, you will discover that our magnificent God is ready and able to fulfill every promise that he has for you. It's time to ask in faith and start living on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, if you keep God busy, he will keep you busy. Order your copy of my book, Give God a Job, today at jdm.org.
You mean to tell me you're going to say God sent this sickness to you to teach you something? See, you're a status quo person. Satan has convinced you to be sick, depressed, disappointed, broke, and busted, and you think that's just the way it is. Let me tell you what Satan wants. He don't want any preacher. He don't want any church getting any bigger than a little small on the corner, not saying much. Why? Because he knows Christianity will destroy him.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.